The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented.
Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. The enemies to watch out for. And we've got a lot of enemies to watch out for, but these are the key players that we have been watching for quite a bit of time, folks. And we're running out of time. The way the things look, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for America, because I still do not see any de-escalation. I don't think you're seeing any de-escalation whatsoever. And these enemies, this is unlike any other time in the history of the world, a threat like this. It is so astronomically high, the threat right now. I can't put it into words, but we'll try. We're going to deal with it. Frank Gaffney was joined by Mark Halperin, and they were talking about basically these enemies that we have to face. And, well, let me give you what they started out saying, and then I'll comment. Take a listen.
Well, I see it somewhat differently, but what I see is a descent to what we had in the 30s. But in this case, we have two major powers, Russia and China, China being the major power, then Russia. And each of those powers has a sort of a mini-me. In China's case, it's North Korea. And in Russia's case, it's Iran. This is growing. And they use the mini-me's to do some of the work that they don't do directly.
I love that example, the mini-me. He's exactly right. We're facing, you've got China using the mini-me North Korea, and then Russia using the mini-me. And these powers that have come together, the key ones are going to be Iran. It's going to be Russia, China behind the scenes. And I don't know if North Korea is going to be as big of a role or not. It actually seems to me like it'll be more of the Middle Eastern countries more involved than we assume. At least I would think our intelligence agencies are assuming. Anyways, you have this cabal that is working together and nothing is settling down. It's still getting worse. And you have to ask, how long? How long before they do something? It's not like they're posturing to strike Europe. I guess some people might think that. I don't know why you would. They're not posturing to strike anybody but America. That's who they're posturing to strike, which is very worrisome if America is sold out from within. And it appears we are sold out from within. Let's continue on.
But these major powers, all four of them are nuclear armed, although Iran is not quite yet, but it's on, certainly on its way, courtesy of Obama and Biden. These four powers, two big ones and two little ones, have enough juice in them, and they're backed up by their nuclear weapons and their tremendous armies and their strategic position to vault us back to a situation in the 30s where we had Japan and Germany as threats. And generally, people don't recognize this because we feel secure, illegitimately so, because wrongly so, because we're not. It will come upon us courtesy of these countries. Now China is very powerful economically. Russia is not, mm-hmm. but Russia is more powerful at the moment in terms of nuclear weapons than China. And what it comes down to is that Russia, particularly if it wins in Ukraine, will be able to dominate Europe, take it out of the game. And China will be able to dominate Asia, Japan, certainly Taiwan, which it will try to conquer, Australasia, and the productive engine of Asia. Now, these two countries, if Europe is out of the game and our allies in Asia, right, North Korea, Japan, Australia, et cetera, are out of the game, that we haven't got much left, particularly given that we have paid no attention to Africa and South America, where China, Russia, and Iran are at the moment dominating, not the United States.
Yes. Let me.
Yeah, before Frank Gaffney asks another question. This coalition, what are we going to do going forward? Are we going to get aggressive? Obviously, we have an administration that is not going to go aggressive. They had their opportunity when this all first started. So Iran scares the crap out of the Biden administration because they're not predictable. And I think the Biden administration knows that they have nuclear weapons now. And they're just out of fear, afraid to make the wrong move. But they believe it's under control because China, I'm sure, is telling them, don't worry, it's all under control. We're going to implement and help with the Great Reset. So you've got people in Europe that are pushing for the Great Reset, right? That's to change the world economically forevermore, to have a one world government. You have China saying, yeah, we're all for that. We're all for that. But the European globalists don't understand. China's just playing you as fools. They're for it, yeah, until they can take full control, and they're just looking for weaknesses and the proper time. It's a scary time to live in if you don't have faith in God that he can pull us through these things, depending on which way these things go. I'll go back. Here's some more.
Let me just say, I think this is mostly a quibble about sort of the ranking of some of these problems. My personal assessment is Xi is the dominant factor in all of those nations.
I agree.
Russia is now more or less a vassal state, still powerful, yes, and still anxious to expand its position in Europe for sure. But basically, it was not an accident that Putin went to Beijing to get Xi's blessing for an invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah,
any more than the Iranians and the Palestinian Authority, I think, got a similar blessing in Beijing, and others have done so as well. So, Mark, I guess what I would just simply say is that what we're looking at, we agree, is an environment that is at least as fraught as were the 1930s. And more we so. Agree that most Americans don't really understand that, let alone that we've actually begun the war that I think Xi finds is going to be beneficial to him and his nation, especially at a time when he is having some very profound difficulties at home.
It's more so, Frank, because now, unlike the 30s, there are nuclear weapons. And
sure.
And now China is, because of its population and productive capacity and geographical position, is much more powerful than Japan was. Right. And by the way, about Russia being a vassal of China, I wrote years ago a piece which was called Putin's Mistake, which is that he's allowed himself to be taken into the embrace of Xi, that's the end of Russia. Because
from which there is no extricating, yeah. Hotel California kind of thing. And Mark, I guess that's really the crux of the matter, is that if we are looking at a far more powerful adversary in Xi's China than was true even with Hitler and the Japanese, you know, joined up, in part for the very reason that you've just mentioned, that they have made these arrangements, yes, with the Russians, yes, with the Iranians, yes, with the North Koreans and Pakistanis and any number, but also this Belt and Road Initiative, a sort of colonial build-out, very much to your point about the influence that they now exercise and will even more in the days to come, I think, in South America and in Africa. It's a world war with most of the deck stacked against us, it seems.
What you could do is you could add to my little two and two, you can add that China is also replicating the British Empire. Because and of course in World War II there was the British Empire, but it was on our side. Right. Now it's on their side. Yes. Well, I mentioned Africa and South America and the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It's not just Belt and Road, it's investment and beyond the belt and beyond the road in South America.
Yes, that's key. I kind of forget about Europe and how it's as if Great Britain was on the other side, like he's saying. We're facing these nuclear enemies, and then none of us think that Britain wants to blow us up with a nuke, but they do want to go into a one-world government, at least parts of them, the globalists that have a lot of power over there, and we're facing that. So you have to face enemies from within your own nation that want the global government. And you have enemies that want to take advantage of that and actually destroy you utterly and completely once they feel you are weak. Once they feel they are at the ultimate strength where they won't have to suffer any consequences that should scare them off. But I don't know why they would feel scared off at this moment in time, the way things are going. Let's jump ahead. They continued this conversation, and it's kind of the same thing, but it's very scary stuff because we're so close to it happening. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, well, the point that I wanted to make is that Americans think we're safe, and this is really at the heart of our problem and the danger. We think we're safe because traditionally we've been so powerful, and also we've been protected by the vastness of the oceans on the east and the west, the Atlantic and the Pacific. Mm-hmm. But you know, here's the thing: even in the Revolutionary War, when there were wooden ships, when going across the ocean took months and was extremely dangerous, and the cargoes that they carried were so small. Even then, we were almost conquered by Britain. I mean, we almost lost the Revolutionary War. And in 1812, the same thing could have happened. Mm-hmm. And in the First World War, I'm sure your viewers are familiar with the Zimmermann telegram. Yes. Germany wanted to enlist Mexico so they could have bases and invade us from Mexico. And in World War II, my father, who was in intelligence, was sent to Mexico, to the coast, to the western coast of Mexico, to observe the Japanese so-called fishing fleet, which was before the war. They were making maps of the coast of Mexico because they wanted to invade. We are not safe, especially in the era of intercontinental ballistic missiles, bombers that are intercontinental.
Yeah, let me pause it there. Do you feel safe? Is he making a correct point? Does it feel like, I just wonder, the average American who's not fully paying attention, if you think about people in your life right now, are they feeling safe? And I would say, if you're not paying close attention, I think you are feeling safe. I don't think people understand how nuclear capabilities have advanced, where you can sneak in a nuke into this country as a dirty bomb. And it's actually not that hard to do with our open borders. It's not that hard to do. It should be very hard to do, but we've made it so that, no, it wouldn't be that hard to do because our borders are so open. But people probably feel like, this could never happen. It's just the prevailing attitude because we've never seen it happen in the history of the world. We've never seen a true nuclear threat, especially with the weapons that can be used as tactical nukes. Nukes so that you can actually save parts of the land to not be radiated compared to other places, or you can go extremely aggressive and use some big, powerful nukes. I don't know what our enemies are going to do when it comes to a nuclear attack if they pull the trigger. I just know that they're capable. I know they're in position. I know that they have the want. They want to. I think it with the Biden administration sitting there, if they start to really feel like Joe Biden and his administration is going to become competent at any time, or I shouldn't even say that, is going to be replaced by a Trump administration, if they ever felt that, they would know they missed their window. So there has to be a window here. But I think the window is so much closer than other people think. I think we're in the window right now. And that's a really scary thought when you ponder it. Here's more.
And our open society, which allows penetration on every level, not just cyber, but people coming here and establishing themselves in ways that are truly a great threat to the United States. I mean, in the Biden administration alone, we've let in 10 million unvetted people, including many, many from China, from Iran, from other places. We just let them in, and we don't know what they're about.
And especially given the demographics of that population, which seems to include, if not mostly, certainly a very large percentage of unaccompanied
young men,
fighting-aged young males. And they've come from places like Communist China. Some say they're, you know, special forces, no less, from Communist China. But you've got jihadis from Iran and Afghanistan and God only knows where else. And not least, we've actually legally admitted some 70,000 of them from, the Taliban's Afghanistan. This is a formula for disaster, Mark. So as you look, just in conclusion, as you look at this world situation, what must Americans understand about the environment we're in now and what it is going to take for us to survive, to say nothing of Israel, the various enemies that we face?
Well, what it will take is a much, much greater investment in our military. The Navy in particular, because those oceans do protect us to some extent, but not without a Navy. And our Navy is really going to seed, whereas China's is building up as fast as we're going down. And it will also take
faster.
The elites of the country. Let me just say this, if I can quickly get this in. I've been reading an essay by Walter Russell Mead about Thucydides and Polybius, the Peloponnesian Wars. And in the Peloponnesian Wars, the elite of Athens were willing to lose the war as long as their position was assured. And we find ourselves in a similar situation. The elites in America feel that they're citizens of the world.
Yep.
They are willing to redo America and possibly lose a war, to be dominated from outside, as long as their positions are assured.
That's the Great Reset. That's where we can't explain why are our own people allowing this to happen. He's saying because they have no allegiance to America. They have an allegiance to their position of a global government coming in, and they think they're going to be rewarded and it's going to be even better for them. It never makes any sense. I call it a spiritual blindness. I don't know why they think that, why they think a communist China is going to allow them to still rule the world after doing a great reset of the economic financial system and all this. They're not going to allow the Americans back in power. So the American globalists would be the first to most likely get taken out by these regimes. That's what's really amazing, is the blindness to that as well. Folks, time is running out. And I know you know it. I know it. I don't know how much more I can warn, but I'll keep doing it as long as it's a giant danger. You get to the point where I'm like, I'm doing this too much. I'm warning you guys too much, I sometimes feel like. And it's like, no, the threat is still there. It's worse than the threat is still there. The threat is still escalating. I wish I could tell you that it's not escalating. I wish I could tell you that there is good news right up ahead, but I'm not seeing it yet. If I see good news, I will come and give you a good news forecast of what's going to happen. But I'm not seeing it yet, folks. So get right with God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya.
Hey guys, don't forget to subscribe and hit that like button.
Sophia paused before the door. It read, Department of Bi-Digital Convergence. Just inside was a new world, a better world, the one of everlasting life, of no pain, of no loss, of no problem. She entered the chamber and her surroundings changed. She saw around her an infinite field of waving golden grain surmounted by cloudless blue sky. The AI voice whispered gently in her mind, Welcome to the Singularity. She couldn't see it and couldn't feel it, but her body had almost instantly been covered by a swarm of tiny gray multi-legged bots that melted through her clothes and into her skin. Not perceiving the nightmare, her eyes had already been consumed and the rest of her body was dissolving as the bots digested her flesh. She felt only a warmth suffusing her being. Drowsy, she drifted to sleep, and her last thought was one of panic. Would she ever wake? Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past in Endgame, the new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of The New American Magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP, ENDSHIP. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's Issue of The New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code N20, END20.